God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, I have to confess, this is one of my favorite stories. And one reason it's one of my favorite stories is the movie, The Ten Commandments. Now, I'm talking about the classic with Charlton Heston. I'm not talking about The Prince of Egypt, which some of you younger folks might know. So, as I was getting ready this week to write my sermon, somehow I thought, maybe I need to watch it, just to get a little refresher. Like, reading the scripture is one thing, but maybe the movie would be helpful. So I searched pretty hard on the internet to find a bootleg clip of the Ten Commandments, and I watched this scene. And as we get into the middle of this scene, there's one part where they're at the sea and everybody's panicking, and Moses turns around and he raises his arms and he says, 10 times you've seen the miracles of the Lord and still you have no faith. And I was like, you tell him, Moses, that's right. What's wrong with you people? But then, and P.S., that's nowhere in the scripture, okay? So just to, you know, just to clarify. But it was kind of good in that spot. But then as I started to think about it a little bit more, I thought about those Egyptians. And I was like, what is it about them? Why are they reacting this way? And this phrase kind of popped into my head, that it's the devil you know is sometimes better than the devil you don't. At least that's how we feel sometimes. And I can understand why the Israelites felt this way. Imagine you're an Israelite. For generations, you've been slaves in Egypt. Your parents, your grandparents, they've been born, they grow up, they grow old, still slaves. And you're still a slave. And then all of a sudden, something new starts to happen. This guy Moses comes on the scene. And he says, I'm God's messenger, and he has sent me to set you free. But you don't know who he is, and you don't know what's going on. And honestly, the first thing that happens when Moses gets there is he gets Pharaoh annoyed, and Pharaoh gives you more work and harder work to do. And then the plagues begin. And you're watching what's going on, and you're not sure what's happening. These are big, kind of crazy things happening. And you just don't know. You're confused. And finally, it's the last plague, the 10th one. The angel of death is going to come through and is going to take the life of every firstborn in Egypt. But your people follow God's instructions. You mark your door with the blood of the Lamb, and the angel passes over. In the chaotic aftermath of that plague, you're set free. And there you are, stepping out into the desert, not knowing where you're going. It's a couple weeks later, and now you turn around, and here come Pharaoh's chariots, charging after you. There's no route of escape. You're stuck between the sea and Pharaoh's chariots. What would you be thinking? I think I might be telling myself, hey, slavery wasn't so bad. We had food, we had a place to live, we didn't have to worry about drowning, and we didn't have to worry about getting trampled by Pharaoh's chariots. Have there been times in your life when maybe you just keep doing things the same way when you know that it's not the best thing for you? Sometimes it's small things, like sticking to the same diet, even when we know it's not healthy. We went apple picking with the youth yesterday, and when we came back, we decided to bake with all the apples. And even though we know sugar is not good for us, I can tell you we consumed, what do you think, Adam? At least a week's worth of sugar in a couple hours. Maybe you just hit the snooze button every morning, even though you know it's going to make you late and you're going to have a stressful day. Maybe you come home at night and you read the paper or you cruise through social media instead of talking to your partner because there's some issue there that you just don't feel like dealing with. Or you stay in a relationship that's not healthy for you because you just can't imagine what will happen if you leave. Maybe you've kept pain inside. You haven't shared something that's happened to you because you're afraid that people might ignore you or they might just totally disregard what's happened to you. The reasons we avoid change, the reasons we stay with the devil that we know, are complicated. But what we learn from the Israelites' experience today is that the way we move forward is we use our faith muscles. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Vicar Dawn, where exactly is the faith muscle? Well, I think that the faith muscle is right between our head and our heart. It's where what we know intersects with what we feel. And it's in that place that God is. And I think it's God that joins those things together and gives that muscle substance. Now, how do we work our faith muscles? Maybe you haven't thought about faith muscles, so you're not quite sure what to answer. But if it's like any other muscle, we have to practice. We come here to church. We hear the word of God. We receive the sacrament. We use our faith muscle. Every time we pray and we engage in conversation with the Lord, we use our faith muscles. Sharing our faith with others, in our actions, in our words, anywhere we are, uses our faith muscles. When we're conscious of God in all the little things, we work our faith muscles so that then, when there's a bigger issue in our lives, they're strong enough to help us through. Now, for the Israelites, they had been praying to God for generations, working their faith muscles. They moved out in faith into the desert. They used their faith muscles. Now they're at the Red Sea. And guess what? Those muscles, they're getting a little bit tired. It happens when we use our muscles. They get tired also. So Moses knows this, and he says, "You can't do this alone. I'm going to help you." He says to them, "Do not be afraid." Kind of love those words. We hear them over 350 times in Scripture, usually by angels announcing something new that God is about to do. It's what the angel said to Mary when she told her that she was going to bear a son and that it would be Jesus. It's what the angel said to the shepherds, keeping watch in their flocks by night when they announced Jesus' birth. And it's what Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel in one of the last times he gathered with them before he would die. He said, "Do not be afraid." Now, I've heard those words sometimes in my life, and I'm sure you have too. How do they make you feel? Are you not afraid because someone tells you, "Do not be afraid"? Not really, right? And I was thinking about how we use them all the time with our children. Or at least I did. I don't know if any of you did. Like, as they're learning to swim, or I kept thinking about jumping into the pool. Don't be afraid. Just jump, right? Don't be afraid. So I think that, well, those words don't take our fear away. What they do sometimes is they help us to just kind of take a breath and move forward even with our fear. They don't take them away, but they help us to move forward. They tell us when Moses says this to them, what Moses is saying is, God is with you. God can imagine something new. Just move. Now, the next thing Moses says to them is, you have only to keep still. These words really, I think a better translation from what I was reading is to be quiet. So it's not necessarily to stand still, but it's to be quiet. But sometimes being quiet when we're afraid is difficult. Imagine for a minute the chaos of this scene. The sea is looming, the chariots are coming, everyone's clamoring and crying out about something. It will take an exercise of faith muscles for anyone there to be quiet. When you've been afraid, is it usually quiet? Or were there voices stoking your fears? Maybe someone was telling you that it's crazy for you to try something new, that you should just do what you know and stay where you are. Or, in my case particularly, maybe you as well, the voices in my head are going really loudly, imagining all the worst scenarios and telling me what might happen if I do something different. Quieting those voices takes our faith muscles. Now, this is a chopped up version of the reading, and in the middle of where we had our reading, there's a verse where God says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward." And what it means is that God is telling the people that they should travel. That's actually the Hebrew word. Not go forward, but they should travel, which seems a little odd. Where are they supposed to go? The Red Sea is in front of them. The chariots are behind them. But God knows that he's about to act. He's about to do something new. In the Jewish tradition, there are commentaries on the scriptures called Midrash. They were written by ancient rabbis, and their purpose is to kind of like bring some clarification to the text and to offer some added meaning to what the story is about. So in a Midrash about this part of the story, the rabbi said that when Moses says, "Go forward," all the leaders of the tribes of Israel are standing around arguing about who's going to move forward first. So all the leaders are like, no, you go. No, I don't want to go. You go first. And all of a sudden, there's one person, Nachshon. He's the leader of the tribe of Judah. He sees all this clamoring. He hears all this noise. And he just starts to walk into the city. And he just keeps walking into the water. First it's up to his ankles, then his knees, then his waist, then his chest. And it's not until the water is all the way up to his nose that then Moses raises his staff and the waters part and the dry ground is revealed. This midrash tells us that God is always working to create something new, but we have to act as well. We have to use our faith muscles, and we have to move along. The devil we know often feels safer than the devil we don't. But even when we can't imagine something better, and we feel stuck in what seems like an impossible situation, God is able to create something new. Now, we're going to be afraid, even if someone tells us not to be. And there will be voices, outside voices, voices in our own heads that are noisy. But each time we exercise our faith muscles, God is there, holding it all together for us so that we can build those muscles and build their memory. And then the next time we're faced with a challenge or with something unknown, when God is acting to create something new that we can't even imagine, we will be ready to act, to step out and travel, to be part of whatever this new creation is that God has imagined. Amen.
Amen.